Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you through the knowledge of God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I've chosen for our message today is the gospel reading that was read just a few moments ago, and we invite you to look at that and follow along as best you can. But the summary of that particular gospel for me was John 10, verse 27, where we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In the name of Christ, our good shepherd, friends and fellow redeemed, have you ever realized how often in our day and age that all of us have numbers? Your bank account has a number that belongs to you and to your name. Your emails have passwords that you have to put in so that they can recognize you. And I always forget my password, so I have to get out my little file and look, which password do I have for this or that? Everything today seems to have a number. You have your Social Security numbers, your Medicare numbers. Numbers are so impersonal. But today in our gospel lesson, we learn how personal Jesus is to his own sheep. He knows each and every one of his sheep, not by a number, number 9, number 10, number 11, but by name. He knows you by name. He knows all about you, and he loves you with a great love. And that gospel for today assures us that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows our name. So I want to look at this text, and there are several truths here about Jesus, our Good Shepherd, that I want us to just focus on and try to keep our attention on. First of all, I want you to see him as the seeking shepherd. You look at the text before you and you see that Jesus was there at a festival in Jerusalem called the Feast of the Dedication. That was a feast that where the people of Jerusalem about 65 BC repaired and took over again the temple that had been taken away from them. And this particular day was celebrating where they were able to get the temple again into the hands of their Jewish nation. So Jesus is there. And that whole chapter 10 is about the Good Shepherd. And this particular text is kind of comes after he has been preaching about himself being the Good Shepherd of the sheep and all that he's going to be doing for his sheep and so on. And so people who come to him while he's there in the colonnade of the temple at Jerusalem, they came asking questions to him. And we read about them in the text. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, and by the way, this is kind of a hostile thing that they're doing. They've heard him preach. They've heard his teaching. They've seen his miracles. They saw where he even healed a man who was born blind. But they are very doubtful about him and his message. And so they come and say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." That's a very harsh thing, it seems, that Jesus says to them, but truly, they were seeking their own power, their own glory, and they were not believing the messages that he was preaching. They were not believing the great miraculous signs that he was doing all over the Holy Land in those days. They were just in rebellion against him. And so he identifies them as not being my sheep. And what was it that did not make them his sheep. It was the fact that they did not believe his word. They did not believe in him. So they were not his sheep, at least at that point when he talks to them. So this is a reminder that our Lord has his sheep. And the thing that made these people not his sheep was their lack of faith. Now you and I are gathered here in the assembly of our Lord in this church to worship and praise him who has bought us to be his sheep. We believe in him, and we trust his word and everything that he speaks to us in the Bible. And so we are among his sheep. And Jesus says very clearly in this particular text, I know my sheep. He knows you, he knows me, he knows every one of us. And even as he knows us, we need to take that in a very wide sense, that knowing us also means he loves us deeply and will not let us go. I remember as a child in our one of our bedrooms, there was a picture of a painting of Christ, the Good Shepherd. And he carried that little lamb on his shoulder in that picture. And that always made me think about my Savior Jesus and the fact that I'm one of his little lambs, one of his little sheep that he is always taking care of because he loves us so much. Now, I say in this particular section, he is the seeking shepherd because he came also to save those who were so violently opposed to him. And through his preaching in the temple and through his signs that he was doing, he was trying to draw everyone to believe in his name, but they stubbornly resisted and were always, what we would say today, they were always on his case. You understand that? Always on his case, trying to find something that they could blame him where he would lose his popularity with some of the people. Now today in America and in the world, there are a lot of people who know all about, they know about Christianity, not all about it. They know about Jesus, but they still reject him. And I've read books where they will say things like, well, his miracles really did not happen. They can be explained away as some kind of natural event. Or here he's wrong in what he says and so on. And so they disbelieve the word that we have given to us in the New Testament especially, and also in the Old Testament that it reveals Jesus over and over again in all the prophetical writings that we find in the Old Testament. So we have that element today, and in America it seems to be getting stronger. And you and I have to do all that we can because Jesus knows us and we know him as our Lord and Savior to speak up for him and to defend him as the Lord of all. And then secondly, as we look at this, we see that Jesus is the caring shepherd here. I could ask you today this question, what do you believe is the most well-known psalm of the Bible? Anybody answers coming? Oh, that was almost unanimous. Well, it was unanimous, at least what I heard. That is the best known, and I can't help but think that when Jesus was talking about himself as the Good Shepherd, you know, he knew that Old Testament better than any of us could ever know. He is the Son of God. He knew every word there and helped to give it. But I think that, you know, as a child or, you know, being the true God and true man, he had to study and so on. He probably read the scriptures and he knew this psalm very well. And when you read it for yourself, you can see where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, he restores my soul, etc., etc. You know it well by heart. But that's the kind of shepherd that we have, this caring shepherd. Shepherd always cares for his sheep. I remember reading a story once about a guide in the Holy Land who was taking people on a tour. And he was explaining how in the Holy Land, it's a lot different with shepherds and sheep. Most of these people who were there were from states like Montana, where there are lots of sheep. And thousands of sheep, and they are driven usually by cowboys on horseback and by dogs keeping them all in, you know. But in the Holy Land, the flocks are a lot smaller. And he was explaining that the shepherds in the Holy Land who have those small flocks knows almost every one of the sheep by name, probably by name. And they hear his voice and they will follow. He's in the lead always. You'll see him going ahead of the sheep and they're following after because they trust him and they know that the shepherd is going to take care of them. And then as they were going a little bit further, all of a sudden, one of the guys at least was looking out the window and he says, "Hey, guide, you're all wrong. Look out there. See all of those sheep going along there? Look at that fellow behind them and he's driving them. Look, he even has a stick in his hand and he's driving them. You were wrong in what you were saying about the way the shepherd leads the sheep and is ahead of them." He says, "Well, I'm not mistaken. You see, that man is taking them to the butcher." Terrible, terrible. But I think there is someone who's trying to take us to the butcher, and that's the old evil foe who means us deadly woe. The devil and all of his hosts and all of his powers is trying to rob sheep from our Savior Jesus. He would like to rob us from him very, very much. But he is the good shepherd. And I always think of that parable that he told about the good shepherd who there's one sheep missing from the 100. He goes out, leaves the 99 to find that one sheep to bring him back to the fold. That's how much Jesus loves us. We often stray. In our confession today, we confess that. But Jesus is always drawing us back to himself through his word, through his sacrament, to strengthen us, to feed us with his grace. This is the caring shepherd that you and I have, and he will faithfully take care of us all of our life. And then we see, thirdly, here in this particular text, that Jesus is the giving shepherd. The giving shepherd. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of our hand." So what is it that Jesus gives us? He says, "I give you eternal life." You and I are well acquainted with the fact that all of us must someday die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and because we still are sinners, we will die someday. But in Christ, our shepherd, we have eternal life. And we have that because it was won for us by our good shepherd when he himself was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Over and over again in this 10th chapter of John, which comes before all of this that we're talking about in this gospel today, it says, "The sheep hear his voice," the good shepherd, "and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That's what I mean when we look at Jesus as the giving shepherd. He gives himself away to the death on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world. And then he gives us faith in him as our Savior. And with that, we receive the forgiveness of sins. And following that is eternal life. We saw some of that in the first reading for today. That was a picture of heaven and the glory of those people who have followed Jesus. The sheep are all gathered there and they are singing praises, eternal praises to him who loved them and gave himself for them that they might have eternal life. This is one of the most powerful passages, I think, that you can find anywhere in Jesus' preaching and teaching. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then, for further assurance, this word, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and he with God the Father, in unity with the Holy Spirit, is the one who is constantly loving us, watching over us, taking care of us. And no one can snatch us out of his hand or the Father's hand, and they are one in terms of their being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're also one in this will to deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. So that's it. Jesus is a seeking shepherd. We see that, how he seeks. He says, I come to seek and to save the lost. He's the caring shepherd who takes care of his own. He is the giving shepherd who gives himself away that he might give to all of us eternal life. And we who believe are the flock of our good shepherd. He's always seeking through word and sacrament to keep us close to him. He cares, he loves us, and we can take a comfort in all that he says here about holding us in his hand and that nothing can remove us from his hand. I talked about Psalm 23 a little while ago. And I was thinking, what would be a better conclusion to our message today than that final verse of that psalm? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May that give all of us great comfort always. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.